Am I on? Can you hear me? My wife normally says I don't need a microphone, so you should be able to hear me. I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. This is from the New International Version. It says this. It's talking about the disciples and Jesus. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "This is the man. I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. I think it goes on to say, he told him not to go into the village to share, but to go home. I'll explain these verses a bit more as we go on. I'll give you a bit of background. But when I was preparing this, I thought, it's a bit boring, isn't it, me reading the text? Perhaps we ought to have somebody sing. So if you play that song, that'd be better, I think, than me reading it. If you play the next thing on your list.
Jesus came to the city of Bethsaida, and the blind man was brought to him. And the blind man said to Jesus, "If you would only stop and touch me, if you would only stop and touch me, if you would only stop and touch me, I know I could see. If you would only stop and touch me, if you would only stop and touch me, if you would only stop and touch me, I know I could see." So Jesus touched him. He put his hands on the blind man's eyes and he said, "Now open your eyes and tell me what you see." And I can almost see that man now opening his eyes for the first time. Looking around and seeing the dim outline of the people around him, he said, "I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I'm beginning to see. I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I'm beginning to see." So Jesus touched him one more time. He laid his hands on his eyes and he said, "Now open your eyes and look up and tell me what you see." And the man said, "I can see all men clearly. I can see all men clearly. I can see all men clearly. I've begun to see. I can see all men clearly.
Okay. If you didn't know, that was Johnny Cash, but basically singing exactly the verses we're looking at. So it, in a sense, it's the Word of God. You might not like the way it's presented, but it's the Word of God. I want to talk about that passage, and in particular, that verse that says, "I see people, they look like trees walking around." And my question for you is, as we look at 2022, what do you see? We learned something about Mark the other week. I don't know if you were listening, but he said he doesn't make New Year's resolutions. And I don't know where you're at, whether you've been down that route and sort of thought the New Year's starting, but I want to challenge you, in a sense, about your vision for 2022. Here's a story about a man blind. Jesus comes, lays his hands on him. He sees men walking as trees, is what the Bible says. I'll tell you a funny story about that later on. Just a bit of background. I'm often aware when I'm up here speaking, not everybody understands all of what Scripture says. So I'll give you a little bit of background about the Gospel of Mark. For those of you who know, I say it often, the Bible's written in three languages. The Old Testament's written in Hebrew, and parts of it are written in Aramaic or Chaldee, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezra, bits of that. The New Testament's written entirely in Greek. So this book we're looking at, Mark, is written in Greek. So really, it's for a Greek-speaking culture, not really for a Hebrew-speaking culture. I looked this up and I was never sure. They can't be certain about when the Gospel of Mark was written, but they reckon it's the earliest Gospel. So of the four we have, they're not necessarily in date order, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. It's just the way they've been put in. The earliest probably written between, 50 and 70 AD, the Gospel of Mark's written. They think underlying the Gospel of Mark is an original Aramaic document, but nobody's ever found it yet. And behind the Gospel of Mark, they think were Mark picking up from the Apostle Peter, the recollections of Peter. And the Gospel of Mark's probably named after a guy we find in the book of Acts, who my first son is named after, a guy called John Mark. Found in the book of Acts. If you read Acts 12, he's a relative of Barnabas. That's who they think wrote the Gospel of Mark. It's interesting that Peter behind it, again, it's the way my head works. Where do you think Peter's hometown was? Where was Peter from? Bethsaida. John 1:44 will tell you that. You probably know me long enough now to put up with me. It's just the way my head works. I'm thinking, where on earth was Bethsaida? So if you want to put that map up for us, please, and then you should be able to see where it is. Here's Jerusalem down here. Bethsaida up on the top of Lake Galilee at the top. Probably northeast, really, top of the Sea of Galilee. From Jerusalem to Bethsaida, about 80 miles, roughly, when I looked it up. I like to know my facts and get my facts right. It's just the way I am. But that's where it is. So, in a sense, Jesus ministering in Jerusalem and Bethsaida is quite a way away. I guess in those days, if you had to walk or go by horse, it'd take quite a bit to get there, if it's 80-odd miles. Often we read the Gospel, don't we? We think it's all, you know, just there. It's not quite like that. You can take that map down now, that's okay. When I was looking at the Gospel of Mark, when I was at Bible College, one of the things my lecturer pointed out, I always found it quite funny. In the AV, if you read the Gospel of Mark in the Authorised Version, or the King James Version, you'll find a word appears often, a little word called straight away. Everything in Mark happens straight away. The NIV translates it immediately. It's the shortest Gospel, but it's full of action, Mark. It centres on the power and miracles of Jesus. Everything's happening. When you read it, it's like one thing to another. Years ago, I don't know if you remember, there's a guy who used to tour round, actually had memorised the entire Gospel of Mark. And that was his show. He'd speak the Gospel from memory. Yeah, 16 chapters. I think I struggled with two or three. But this guy could do it all. Thought to be the shortest Gospel. The story we're looking at has a double meaning. It's a story about a man who's blind and is healed, but it's also a motive or a metaphor for the disciples. If you read earlier, the verses before, they're called blind and dumb. They've got deaf ears and they can't see. If you read the Gospels accurately, you'll know that's true. They don't know really who Jesus is. Have this great question, don't we? Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say you're Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Peter says, "You're the Messiah." It's recorded in Mark, probably more well known in Matthew. But they don't quite understand who he is, really. In fact, it's probably getting towards Pentecost before they really understand what's going on. It's the resurrection and afterwards, before the penny drops, if you like. They don't really know who he is. And they don't know what his mission is. Quite funny, isn't it? We think the disciples spent three and a half years with him, and yet they didn't get it. Some of us struggle understanding. They were struggling. So the story has a double meaning. It's talking not only about the blind man, it's talking about the disciples. This passage speaks about the disciples' deaf ears and blind eyes. The verse I'm looking at, "I see people walking as trees." What do you see? In 2022, what's your vision like? Have you thought about it? Are you looking to God for something new? The man in the passage wasn't blind from birth. How do we know that? Fingers on the buzzer. He knew what a tree was. If he'd never seen a tree, how did he know what they were? So clearly he wasn't blind from birth. It must have developed over a period. Some of us have had vision in the past, but somewhere along the way, we lost it. We've been in touch with God, and maybe we're all excited and on fire, and all of a sudden, it's become a bit harder on the road. Our vision's dimmed. Clarity's not what it was. Maybe you're not seeing men walking as trees, but you're not seeing much clearly. I want to encourage you again this morning. Sue talked about it. She talked about dreaming dreams. I think one of the songs we sang says, "Don't stop dancing, don't stop dreaming," right, isn't it? Never stop dreaming. I think I shared this ages ago. I forget the illustrations, but a preacher I know used to say he had a chair that he sat in was his thinking chair or his dreaming chair. He sat in a chair communicating with God that God would give him vision. Mark said, we want to see God's vision, don't we, for this place? With all respect to us who are leaders, it's not us that's important, it's him. It's his vision. We're trying to outwork it through what God tells us. Vision for you personally. Wouldn't it be good for Jesus to touch and restore our vision? He touched the man's eyes, didn't he? Restored his vision. He could see everything clearly. I can see men clearly. I thought I was going to dress in all black, but I thought, no, I better not. Those of you who know Johnny Cash will understand. According to Jeremiah 29:11, God has plans to give us hope and a future. I don't know what last year was like for you. It may have been a bad year. And maybe your vision and your encouragement has dwindled a bit. But can I tell you, God's got something for you this year. God's got something for you this year. He wants to give us hope and a future. There is hope, there's a future. Jesus wants to restore your positive vision. We're here, most of us are here because we're followers of Jesus, we're Christians. At some point, we gain vision because the initial vision is to realize we needed to repent. That's a work of God anyway. The Bible says the Spirit draws us. But at some point, most of us reach that point of vision saying, yeah, wow, I can see. I think I came here to Carmel Church originally. I think I came here about 4 or 5 weeks before the penny dropped and I sort of said, yeah, it's for me. Happened for me on the way home. Ian Watson said, what do you think? I turned my life over to Christ in the front seat of his Mini as he dropped me off in Openshaw, where I lived. But after it took about 4 or 5 weeks and the penny dropped. I had a vision or clarity that Jesus had died for my sin. That's the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? Jesus died for our sin. It says in the text, others brought him. Don't know if you realise that. Clearly the guy's blind. I imagine others had to bring him. Very similar to a story we look at earlier in Mark. Remember the man who was paralysed on the mat? His friends lowered him through the roof. Mark chapter 2. Jesus was amazed at their faith. Peter put his bill in for the repair to his roof. I think it was Peter's house. Very similar. Others brought him. Just hold on to your seats now. You know, some of us are too proud. Do you know that? Because when we hit difficulty, we don't ask for help. Others brought the guy. They hadn't brought him, he'd probably still be blind. We don't like telling people we're struggling, do we? I mean, obviously, I don't struggle because I'm a Christian and I'm a minister. Never had any problems in my life, he said, lying through his teeth. We all struggle, but we don't like to admit it. We're too proud, aren't we? I'm not going to ask anyone for help. I'm not going to let my guard down and let people know I'm struggling. It's been difficult. Sometimes we need to ask others to help us. Not to be too proud. We don't like asking others for help. Most of us are independent. That's the way we are. But sometimes we need others to help us. Thank God for the people along the way who've helped me over the years. Don't be too proud. No doubt somebody needed to bring him, as the man couldn't see. It says he took him by the hand. It's the personal touch. What a blind person needs most is not the sound, it's the touch. It's personal. Took him by the hand. It says he led him outside the village, away from the noise and distraction, to a quiet place, one-to-one, face-to-face. Sometimes you read the stories of Jesus and it's a bit like a circus show. People tumbling over themselves to get to him. That's what happened in Mark 2 with the man. They had to go through the roof because they couldn't get near Jesus. It was too crowded. Jesus wanted to minister him one-to-one, face-to-face. For some of us, it's time to turn off the TV and mobile phone and decide we need a one-to-one encounter with God to restore our vision. It's time to get away from the distractions and sit down in your chair and say, what have you got for me today, God? What do you want to say? What can I see? Isn't it great? Sue was talking about that dream. When you feel something's from God, it gives you confidence. Because it doesn't matter what other people say, God has told you. That's why Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't care what the world brings. If God's told me, it's okay. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Some of us need a second touch because it's been a while since the first touch. Hasn't it? For some, maybe our vision's gone a bit, and maybe we've sort of thought, well, he's not quite doing it the same today. I want to say what the Bible says. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. If we don't believe that, there ain't any hope for us, really. Because he isn't going to do anything, is he? But according to the Bible, he's gone. He's left us another one, a comforter, to be with us. I go to another place. I leave you the comforter, he says in the Gospel of John. The one called alongside is what it means. The old AV used to use the term nobody quite understood, paraclete. I don't know if any of you remember that. It comes from the Greek, kaleo, to call out, and para, alongside. Called alongside, paraclete, paracletus. That's where it comes from. But you're glad you're not signing, Wendy, aren't you? From blurred and indistinct to crystal clear vision, the man went. He could see many trees. Then, as the song says, as the words say, he saw everything clearly. All of a sudden, he couldn't see, and then it was a little bit foggy and blurred. Often, we don't make good decisions, or any decisions at all, because we cannot see clearly. If we have something comes in our life, we panic, whether it's a finance problem, or a relationship problem, or a work problem. Sometimes we're sort of caught like rabbits in the headlight. We don't know because we can't see clearly what the way out is. And we panic. Sometimes we don't do anything, think, hope it goes away. Those days when you get letters coming through your door, you don't want to open them because you think, I don't want to see what's in it. And I don't know how to deal with it. But we need God to touch us and give us clearer vision. So how can we get clearer vision? I'm asking you the challenge for 2022, the challenge for you and the challenge for us as a church. Well, this will surprise you. The clues are in the text. We need to put our hand in his hand. He took the man by the hand. Verses. We need to put our hand in his hand. I sometimes take my grandson to school and drop him off. It's one of the great joys for me, holding hands with Liam and going to school. He puts his hand in my hand. And that sense of feeling of, it's a wonderful thing. Sue, do you want to come up here a minute, please? This is, for those listening on audio, this is my wife coming up. If you want to stand there. Stay where you are. Would you like to hold hands with me? Why can't she hold hands with me? She's not close enough. She's not close enough. Because in order to hold hands, you've got to be close to someone, haven't you? Daft illustration, but If you want to hold hands with God, you've got to get close. Thank you.
Thank you.
Surprised you didn't. You didn't know that was going to happen. We've got to put our hand in His hand. We've got to be close enough to be near. He took him by the hand. In order to hold hands, we need to be close to each other. It signifies closeness, holding hands. It signifies trust. Liam, trust me. He holds my hand. He trusts I'll guide him. If he doesn't know where he's going, Grandad will sort it out. It'll be all right. It signifies safety. You're safe with him. There was a song years ago, I was tempted to play this, so I asked Ray to play it, but I thought I better not. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. 1970, I think it was. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. We need to put our hand in his hand if we want clearer vision, don't we? We need to get close. Second, we need taking away from noise and distractions. He took him away from the crowd to a separate place. If you want clearer vision, you need to be close. Second, you don't need any noise and distractions. For those of you trying to pray with your phone with you, best of luck with that. Leave it in another room. Because if it goes off, you're tempted. Who's texting me now? Who's doing what? And it interrupts your prayer life. I've been there. Get down on my knees. My phone goes off. And then, before you know it, I've spent 15 minutes on my phone and 2 minutes praying. Not that it's about time. It's about quality. But we need to be away from distractions. For God to whisper his vision, we need to be focused and primed, ready to listen, don't we? I talked a while ago about the whisper. Whisper's quiet. Bible says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Mark 6, 30 to 31, if you want to put that up for me, please. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Stress and strains of today, everything's instant, isn't it? Instant coffee, instant food, get here, get there, rush, rush, rush. No time. And sometimes no time for him. He gets pushed out. Well, I'll say a prayer in the morning, say a prayer at night, we'll be all right. Don't know if you've heard that sort of Christian expression. When I was thinking about it, people used to say to me when I first became a Christian, have you had your quiet time with God? I'm like, what do they mean? I don't understand what they're on about. And having studied this, it's that place of being with God in quietness to listen to him. Two-way, to listen to him and to speak to him. Not just your shopping list of praying for the people on your list. You know, bless us four no more. I don't know if you're praying that one. It's about God speaking life into you. I've told you before, repeat it. The first thing we learn about God in the Bible, he speaks. And God said, let there be, and there was. He speaks life. And he speaks life into us. You all know this verse, but I'll share it anyway. Psalm 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Being still, according to the psalmist, we'll learn at least two things. Who he is and how amazing his power and might are. And no matter what news people tell us, ultimately, he will be exalted. I don't care what the news says, or I don't care what the atheists tell you. God says, the day's coming when my name will be lifted up everywhere, in every place. So that ought to give us comfort, that quietness that, okay, I can't see it, I don't understand it. I've said to you before, God's not asking you to understand it, because you'll never be God, you can't understand everything. He's asking you to believe it. It's different. You don't have to understand everything to believe it. I've turned the telly on. I haven't got a clue how it works, really. Just press that button and it comes on. I don't get behind it, take the back off and say, I need to understand how it works before I can turn it on. I have to understand it. Just accept it works. Matthew 6, 22 to 23. Hope this is making sense. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's your vision? What are you full of? Bad stuff or good stuff? Andrew's gone now. He was just talking to me before the service started, saying he'd been watching a horror film. And Sue said, I don't watch them. I said, I watched one on Saturday when Sue was out. He said, what did you see? I said, City against Chelsea. It was X-rated, Karen. Because Andrew's a City fan, so I was just pointing his leg. But maybe it's not a good idea to fill your sight or ears or head with bad stuff. It's up to you what you watch. I'm not saying God's got to talk to you about that. But sometimes we fill our heads and our eyes with the wrong stuff, don't we? And then we think, why am I feeling so negative? Hello? Three guesses. If you want to be positive, get positive stuff. Surround yourself with positive people. If you meet that, if you've got that person in your company, every time they walk round, there's a black cloud with rain coming out of it, I think I'd move. What is it they used to say? Bad friends corrupt good character. Last one. I don't know how we're doing for time here. We need a touch on our eyes to have our vision restored. He touched his eyes. He spit on the man on the clay, put it on the man's eyes, and he touched his eyes. Get into that about healing, it's for another day. He laid his hands on his eyes. We need a touch for God to give us vision. What a great thing to be absolutely sure about making decisions and saying, I know this is the right thing. See, one of the guards God gives us, according to the Bible, is he'll give us peace about stuff in our heart. We use that phrase, don't we? Peace that passes understanding. There it is again. After understanding, but emotions, sometimes you need to feel it. Don't if you realised that the emotions we have are God-given. God created us. You saw me before I was formed, he says, in my innermost being. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, the psalmist says. Wow. How amazing. That's why I don't get uptight about the future and stuff. Gene was, I think, singing it the other week. Because he lives, I can face that. Because I know he holds the future. I don't care what the doctors say or what the verdict is. The one who decides is him. He's in control. It's funny, Mark shared that psalm, didn't he, at the start? I think it's Psalm 68, is it? Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. When I was at Bible College, we used to have a girl there. I think she was from Norway. Her first language wasn't English. And we used to sing that song, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. She was up one morning leading the worship. She said, we're now going to sing, let God arise, his enemies be shattered. And actually, I think she's right. Both. Let God arise, his enemies be shattered. She didn't pronounce scattered right because her English wasn't her first language. I thought, yeah, that's about right. When God arises, his enemies are shattered, aren't they? If God's on your side, I don't care what your issues are, he can sort it, or he can give you strength to stand up under it. I'm not saying he'll remove everything out of your life. That isn't the gospel. Not the gospel I read, anyway. Perhaps we'll preach on my, you know, favourite text to preach on. In this world you will have trouble. That's a good one to preach on, isn't it? When you have, you know, trials and tribulations, consider it pure joy. James says there's another good text to preach on. Maybe the preachers you listen to don't preach that, but that's what the Bible says. The stuff we're going to encounter that we need help to overcome or help to stand up under it. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalmist again. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law or in the Bible. Open my eyes to see something in the Bible. Now, this will be quite startling for some of you. For those of you sat at home with your Bible on the table and praying, saying, God, please open the Bible. Guess what? He's not going to open the Bible. You need to do it. That'll be a breaking revelation for some people. You need to open it and start to read it. And as you read it, he'll speak to you. If you're one of these who throws it up in the air and sticks a pin in it, good luck with that. You need to read it on a consistent basis. And say, as I do before, Lord, show me something new today. It's amazing the number of times I read the same passage and I think, why have I never seen that before? I've been reading the Bible 40 odd years and I've never seen it. I've read that passage hundreds of times, and all of a sudden a little phrase peeks out and you think, wow, how fantastic is that? God's speaking to me today. He's bothered enough that when I actually opened it, he said, just have a look at this first, Jed. What do you think of this? I've never seen that before. Is this right? I go and look at another version and think, what have I done here? Where's that come from? I missed it first time round. God wants to speak to us through his word. Our vision often comes through his word. We see stuff. That's why I think, you know, under Mark's leadership here, we as leaders don't tell you what to do. It's his job, not our job. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. It's not a list of rules. It's a relationship with God. Ephesians 1:18, I'm moving to an end. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. We've got our week of prayer beginning tomorrow, and the first topic is vision. What's your vision? What's your vision for you as an individual, for your family? Some of you I know are praying for people in your family who are not Christians. I think I told you the last time I went to a do with my brother, he asked, was I still going to that silly church? We're silly, that's the way it is. Paul said he was happy to become a fool for Christ. Doesn't matter what people say, does it? Used to say, didn't he, as a little kid, sticks and stones. Just what people say about you at work, they think you're a bit of an oddity, maybe. What matters is what he thinks and what he says. And I am convinced I've already got my name down in the book of life. That's what the Bible teaches me. When I said, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life, he wrote an entry. He probably wrote it before because he knew before I was born it was going to happen. But it's a whole other story. And then when the day of judgment comes, he'll get out the book of deeds and I'll be given a reward according to what I've done to represent him. Whether, as Mark put it, have I been contagious enough? Have people caught some of it? Dave Sherman used to say to me many times, some things are caught, not taught. And he was right. You've got to be close to somebody. Get close to people who are further on. That's about it from me, I think. I hope that makes sense. We need to put our hand in his hand. We need taking away from noise and distractions. We need a touch on our eyes and our vision. That's what happened for the blind man. It can happen for us. Let me challenge you about your vision for 2022. That God would give you his vision. I want to finish with a hymn, if that's all right. It's going to be on the thing and sing it, yeah. I've already sorted out. I know what I'm doing. I just thought, there's a bit of me when I was praying about this thing, I want to pray for people, but I thought we can make this our prayer. I think that's the way I would see it. If you see the words come up, it'll make sense to you. So you can either stand, I think it'd be better if we stand. Can you play that last song? We'll make this our prayer as we finish. Thank you for listening.
Be all that's to be saved. sleeping or sleeping, thy presence my life. Be thou my gift, thou my true word, I am.
This morning, I just want to draw your attention to the Word of God, which is really important in all that we do. And the promises in there are something we've got to get hold of by faith. And it says a few things about God in the Bible, and we've got to trust. It says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. That's one of God's promises. We put our faith in that. And as we seek God, as we ask him for his vision, then we know that as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It also says in Scripture that without a vision, people perish. What's it all about? Where are we going? What are we doing? What's the point? And in our Christian walk, we can lose our vision, and suddenly our Christian life becomes sort of inept and fruitless. So we need our vision sharpening. And so we've been encouraged this morning by Jed to do that, to seek God. as church and as individuals. So thank you for that. It was brilliant, that, Jed. Thank you. Let's just close in prayer. On your way out, the offering box is there if you want to put anything into that. Father, we thank you that when you come into our lives, you don't just live in us, but you give us vision. You give us a purpose. You give us a calling on our lives. And Lord, we just want to, this week, focus our attention on seeking you, on allowing you to minister and speak into our hearts and to reawaken some of us the vision that you've called us to. We thank you, Lord, that you give us a purpose in life. And we just pray that through this week, you'll speak in your direction into our hearts and thoughts. Amen. Thank you for that this morning. God bless you all.